I want to move on now to long COVID, specifically healthcare workers who are still suffering the effects of having contracted COVID-19. And there has been a special scheme in place to continue paying those nurses and other hospital staff who've been unable to return to work as a result of ongoing health problems from COVID. But that payment scheme is due to come to an end tomorrow. And it's believed there are around 280 health workers currently suffering ongoing ill health as a result of COVID. One of them is Siobhan. She's a nurse and she is 40 years old. And this is the story of when she fell ill with COVID-19 and how her life has been since.
I was an ICU nurse in the hospital here, and I was looking after the first patient we had before we knew he was positive. So I had no PPE and he didn't meet the criteria at the time to be swabbed. So
And when exactly was this?
The end of February 2020.
Okay, so very early days.
Yeah, I would have became symptomatic on the 3rd of March 2020.
How have you been since?
It's been like extremely tough. Like it's constant symptoms of like loads of different symptoms. Brain fog, you know, difficulty word finding, you know, a lot of nausea. If I overdo it in any way, like from a fatigue point of view, if I think I'm able to do something and then I'm not, I end up really, really, really nauseated and vomiting. Yesterday when you tried to ring me, I just couldn't. I was too tired because I spent the day before just vomiting. Just simple things like doing the shopping or having a shower or housework. You know, my heart rate goes really, really high. Excessive like sweating and palpitations, like have to sit down. You know, I can't play with my child. Like he wasn't even 3 when I got sick and now he's nearly 7. He told me there recently that he can't remember me being not sick. He is suffering now as a result, extremely anxious that mommy's going to die. He's having nightmares that mommy is dying. He's afraid to go to school in case I die when he's at school and nobody's with me. You know, it's absolute torture. I'm not saying it's my fault because I can't help it, but you know, it's very hard to deal with when I know that his anxieties are about me. There's a lot of guilt associated with that.
So obviously you're worried about your son, but also on top of this, is there financial worry now given the payment you've been getting is due to be cut?
Yeah, tomorrow is the last day. So I was trying to work it out there before you called, and like just my medical bills alone, you know, I'm under the care of 6 consultants now at this point because there's so much wrong with me. And like each visit to those consultants are from 150 to 300 euro per visit. And then a lot of the stuff that they prescribe isn't covered by the drug payment scheme. Just on medicine alone, my bill is over 200 euros a month. And then plus the consultant fees, plus GP fees, plus medical cert fees. And then that's not even starting like on top of mortgage, domestic bills like everyone else. So we will be down to a one income family in 3 months' time. You know, when my normal sick leave runs out, we will be at risk of losing our house.
Okay,
like,
so
it's kind of ironic, like at the time that we were all told to stay at home and we had to go to work to look after the sickest of the sick when everyone else was afraid to leave their homes, and now we're at risk of losing ours because of it. It's just ridiculous.
So you went from a situation where nurses were applauded at the front doorsteps around the country to a situation where you fear you might be losing your house now.
Like it's gone from a round of applause to a middle finger from the government. It just gives me the rage and I don't have the energy for a rage. Like, it's just absolutely horrible to think that we're just literally being left to rot now. It was true, no fault of our own, that we got COVID. It was due to a failure of the government and their policies and lack of PPE. And it's just very, 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 very frustrating.
Do you think that you'll ever work again?
Well, I only saw my main consultant last Tuesday and I asked her, and she said that I will never get back to nursing, that I'll have to find. And she was like, I'm not talking about now. She was like, maybe 6 months to a year. If your brain improves and, you know, we can get on top of everything else, maybe like a couple of hours in an office somewhere. But it's not even on the horizon yet.
That was Siobhan speaking to me a little earlier, and I'm joined now by Albert Murphy, who is the Director of Industrial Relations for the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation. Good afternoon, Albert, and thanks for speaking to us. This scheme has been in place since July 2022. So what happens now? Do workers like Siobhan move on to regular sick pay for a few months and then what, then nothing?
Well, what will happen is that if there is not a change in policy, that's exactly what will happen. People want sick leave schemes, then they go on to what's called temporary rehabilitation remuneration, which is basically 37% of their salary, which lasts for a limited amount of time, and then it ceases. And then people then would have to make a decision whether they could retire on grounds of ill health. But just as you saw in the clip there, Rose is a young woman, as indeed most of the people that have been affected by the long COVID. The research from John Geary in UCD and the Nevin Institute shows that the predominant amount of people that have been affected by long COVID are women, and they're in their 30s and their 40s. And it covers predominantly nurses, but also healthcare assistants, admin staff. So it's a range of healthcare professionals. And as Ro said in the clip, when everybody else was asked to stay at home, these people went into work when there was no vaccine, and they were criticised if they weren't wore masks, etc. So people did get long COVID. We've been trying to get a scheme in place because we believe, quite simply, that it's an injury at work that these people were exposed to. And the state and the employers have an obligation to look after these people. And that's why we've been trying to get an extension in the first place to this scheme to allow talks to take place at the WRC.
And Ireland, Ireland doesn't recognise COVID as an occupational illness, does it?
No, it doesn't. But I mean, that's missing the point. The Biological Hazards Directive, which is a European-wide directive, recognises COVID as a biological hazard. And Ireland, in fact, is actually an outlier in relation to Europe, because at least 17 countries have put schemes in place and recognise COVID as an illness.
So we are just one of two EU member states that don't. And the point being made by government, and the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar said this in the Dáil just 2 weeks ago, is that, you know, it can be proven that these health workers picked up COVID in work, that they could have got it in the wider community. What do you say to that argument?
Well, you see, if you come back to the people that are on the scheme, to qualify the scheme, they had to be in the workplace for 10 days prior to getting longer before they got COVID. So there's a clear link between these people that went to work, got COVID, and then went on to develop long COVID. So we don't accept that point. And that's why we believe that the government needs to rethink its position on this and put a scheme in place for these people.
Okay, and are you confident the government may reconsider this?
Well, we've been in contact with the Department of Health and through the Minister, and I understand that the Minister for Health has asked his officials to urgently engage with the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform. And we're hopeful that that in order to allow the talks to take place at the WRC, that there's normal practice in relation to industrial relations, that and a short extension of the scheme will be put in place. And I think that would be the sensible thing for the government to do. We, in terms of the trade union side of the house, here want to engage with the Department of Health and the HSE to get a solution for these people.
And are you saying that Minister Stephen Donnelly is supportive of the health workers here, but that it's up to the Department of Public Expenditure?
Yeah, our understanding is that the Minister is fully supportive of an extension of the scheme to allow the talks to take place. We're not asking for an open-ended extension, but we do believe that there is merit in going back to the WRC, and the parties have agreed to that. So what we would ask is that the scheme would be extended for a short duration, probably around 3 months, to allow that process to conclude. And more importantly, just for the people that are at home that are suffering from long COVID, that have been contacting their unions, and as you can detect from the clip, that people are distraught that the schemes are going to end. And, you know, as Rose said, we went to work when people were told to stay at home and they contracted COVID in work. So I think the government needs to rethink this and needs a bit of compassion to its healthcare workers.
Okay, Albert Murphy, Director of Industrial Relations at the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation, thank you very much for joining us. Minister Jack Chambers, why won't the government extend this special scheme to allow a very small number of healthcare workers who are, by the sounds of things, they're in really desperate situations to get paid while they continue to suffer the effects of a virus that they contracted on the front line at a time when they were being hailed as the national heroes?
Well, first of all, I just want to acknowledge the contribution of Siobhan and of Albert there in the context of what was an extraordinary time for our health service and for those workers who provided incredible care and dedication on the front line. That's why the scheme was established at that time, was to provide that support and stability for people as they were experiencing long COVID and out of the workplace because of the variety of symptoms that they had. Minister Donnelly extended that scheme with the cooperation of the Department of Public Expenditure on a number of occasions, and as has been stated, the final extension, which was permitted last year, has run to now essentially, and what has been said by Minister Donnelly and Minister Donoghue is that there will be full entitlement to the provisions of the public service sick leave scheme, and within that then there's the temporary rehabilitative remuneration and also the critical illness protocol which underpin that. I've heard what Albert has said in the context of further engagement that may occur as well, and in terms of it being an occupational illness, this was examined by Minister Humphreys, and because the issue of community transmission, particularly, she has set out a report on that. If the occupation is, if the disease or injury was carried as a risk solely to the occupation and is not a risk outside of the profession, that's why it wasn't permissible.
We're one of only two EU countries that don't consider that.
And there's a report separate to the Department of Social Protection on that.
Is it not very mean-spirited, though? We're talking about a small number of mostly women who were on the front line during what was a crisis period.
Look, I accept the difficulty of many people who are continuing to suffer with long COVID, and I think there should be further engagement on it. As of now, obviously the scheme is concluding, and Minister Donnelly will continue to engage.
Okay, Pather Tobin, what's your view on this? Yeah,
I think this is absolutely scandalous, and it shows that the complete hollowness of the government's supposed gratitude to frontline workers during that period of time. You know, we know that staff actually died as a result of working on the front line and as a result of the COVID that they picked up at the time. This is incredibly debilitating. There's no treatment for this whatsoever. And this, as a result, there's going to be a significant loss of income, even with the TRR, which the minister mentioned here. If there was a logic for this payment up till now, why does that logic evaporate all of a sudden? Where does that logic go? These individuals were working on the front line. They put their lives on the line at a time where most people were too afraid to leave their houses, and now the government is basically saying we have no more responsibility for this whatsoever. At the very least, and I think that the union's request is not that significant, at the very least they're looking for a 3-month extension to this so that they can get to a discussion within the WRC. And it is a small number of people that are affected here. And what this will do in material effect, it will put people into poverty, it'll put people into debt, it will put people into mortgage distress. And that's exactly the reward that they will get for the efforts they made at a period of time where the whole country was in lockdown.
Mairead Farrell, what's your view on this payment? Should it be extended for another 3 months?
Yes, absolutely. Look, the Labour Court has recommended that it goes to the WRC. That's what should be done. And to refuse to extend it until that process has been concluded, I have to say, I don't particularly understand. I just want to come to one point that the Minister made, and that's in relation to not knowing, I suppose, how many contracting work or community or that. But our workers' rights spokesperson, Louise O'Reilly, at the outset of the pandemic, had introduced legislation to treat COVID-19 as an occupational long COVID as an occupational illness. And by refusing to introduce this legislation, the government made it absolutely impossible to track workplace acquired infections. And I don't understand why they did it. And look, we heard very powerful testimony from Siobhan there. And it's something that was raised with me in 2020. And when it was raised with me, the impact of long COVID, I have to say it completely knocked me for six, because of the real life impact it has, the amount of their people that have used their life savings because they're struggling to pay for treatment. I was only talking to one family today who pay €300 privately to see an expert every 6 months. There's an oxygen treatment that they think would be beneficial, but the cost is so great, it just simply isn't possible for them to use. That was a woman who was working on the front line at a time when we were telling people to stay at home, but who went out and worked on the front line to protect our families, our communities, all the people at a time when really they didn't have the likes of the PPE that they should have had and everything else. So the fact that the government is, in my view, really turning their backs to these people is completely outrageous. We have a practical solution here that Albert mentioned. You know, the Labour Court did recommend that it goes to WRC now. Let's have those discussions. Let's continue with this payment until then. And Mary, just one last point I want to make is, you know, often when we talk about these things, we're told, you know, the Department of Public Expenditure kind of says no. Well, I always feel like that's a get out of jail clause, okay. Blaming this department. Okay, we have two ministers there, the Minister for Health, the Minister for Public Expenditure. Let them come together and make a plan for all these people that are infected.
Okay, well, affected. As we say that payment will come to an end tomorrow, but we're going to take another break. Stay with us. We'll be looking at the possible political implications of the resignation of Geoffrey Donaldson as leader of the DUP.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.